Well, we desire an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. And I know I normally have not made a pattern or habit, if ever, have said it, but we also are very thankful for those that are joining us virtually every Sunday. And there's a couple of smaller congregations and some that are isolated and some joining us from other places, and they are just a very important part. And we welcome all of them this morning as well and trust the Lord will bless all of us as we open up our hearts to the Word of God today. I'd like to begin with a passage of Scripture in the book of Numbers. And that is that will be the foundation of the service of the message this morning. The title is The Blue Thread. And when you leave here this morning, I would that you all remember the blue thread and what it represents. The 15th chapter of Numbers, we'll begin reading with verse 32. It said, "While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day." So that, remember, the Sabbath day was on Saturday. And God had given very specific instruction not to work on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a day that was wholly reserved for the worship of the Lord. And so they went out, and there was a man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. "And they that found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him." So they said there's a violation of the law. The man's broken the very clear commandment of God. What are we supposed to do about it? And so then it said, "The Lord said to Moses." Now, this wasn't just Moses' opinion, all right? The Lord spoke. "And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded." Do you know that this was not a sin of ignorance? The man, in previous to this passage, in verse 31, the Scripture was talking about those that despise the Word of God and those that break His commandments would be utterly cut off. If you despise the Word of God, that is by choice. That was not an accident. This man was not out ignorantly breaking the law of God. Okay, because on the surface of it, we may look at that and say that seems to be unjust. I mean, the man was only picking up sticks on Saturday. But the reality was that God had given precise instruction, you are not to work on Saturday. You are not to, and there was a list of things they were not to do, and there was a list of things they were to do. They were to worship the Lord. They were to rest on the Sabbath. It was a day of rest to the Lord. So it wasn't that the man was stoned out of ignorance. He was stoned and put to death because he was despising the law of God. So I want to be sure that we're all very clear on that point this morning. It was not in ignorance. There was no excuse to break the Sabbath. There was no justification. We find that today many people are taking the commandments of God and they're justifying or rationalizing why it's okay to break them. But you know, it's imperative upon us this morning that we understand that when God commands something, He means what He says. And there is a penalty to breaking the law of God. Well, Exodus 35, verse 2, gave us a little bit more about the Sabbath. It said, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be unto you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Now that was in the book of Exodus, all right? God was very clear. If you break the commandment, this is the consequence. So the man that went out breaking the law of God, keep in mind, it was not ignorance. It wasn't that he was brought before the judgment seat. He said, I didn't know. If I would have known, or if someone would have told me, this man had understanding, he had knowledge, and he chose to despise the commandment of God. And he went out and thought, I'll just do it anyway. And he went out and picked up sticks, and he was put to death. He was stoned to death because of his violation. Now, this command was not reinstated in the New Testament. But do you know there's a lot of churches today that are still teaching to keep the Sabbath? They still teach that, the Bible teaches it. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath, holy to the Lord. And so they don't work on Saturday. I have had a question that I have yet to be answered by anybody that teaches that. Are they keeping the whole law? Because the law says that those that don't keep the Sabbath shall be put to death. Do you know that's why we cannot pick and choose what we're going to teach and what we're going to follow? We are followers of the New Testament. It's a new dispensation of grace. Well, those that want to go to the Old Testament and pull out a scripture and keep the Sabbath day, I don't know of anybody that's putting anybody to death. The Lord doesn't want them to do that today. We're living under grace. We're living under the dispensation of Christ and of salvation. Well, in the New Testament, there were a lot of the laws of the Old Testament that were reinstated. Jesus said to the young rich ruler when he came and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He went through a list of the commands. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You will notice one thing Jesus did not say. He did not say, keep the Sabbath day holy. Jesus did not reinstate a literal keeping of the Sabbath in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. When there is a New Covenant made, the Old Covenant has no more effect, does it? It's like a will. If you make a will and you put today's date on it, all the previous wills or covenants that you had made in the past, they're no longer in effect. It is true that a lot of the things you had in old will, you might put it in the new will. But you look at the date, and the one that is the most recent is the one that is legally binding. The same thing holds for the old and the new covenant. The old covenant is important because it teaches us about God. We understand about God and His ways, and it instructs us about sin. We understand what sin is because we find that under the Mosaic law, people did not have the ability to live without breaking those laws. But under grace, under the new covenant with the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a freedom and a deliverance from the very power of sin that we're able to walk in newness of life. Mankind was not able to do that under the old covenant. So it was a very literal mode of worship in the Old Testament. He said, I want you to take one day, and I want this day to be holy to me. But do you realize that what was so beautiful about Sabbath keeping was that it was a shadow. Something that's a shadow is not real, right? It's reflective of something that is real. A shadow is just pointing to something real. The real thing that is in the new covenant, there is a Sabbath for us each and every day. Every single day is to be kept holy to the Lord. Every single day is to be worshiped to the Lord. We could meet just as well if we wanted to on Monday. If we were in a Muslim country and living there, Sunday is a work day. But their weekend, I believe, it's Friday and Saturday. So we might say instead, let's gather on Friday because most of us are off work on Friday. Do you realize that we didn't have to meet on Sunday? It was a pattern and a tradition of the New Testament because it was the Lord's day. It was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It was a Sunday. It was the day the Holy Spirit came, was on a Sunday. And so the early morning church made a habit of meeting together on Sunday. But it is not binding upon us. What is binding upon us is that we meet together and we fellowship as the body of Christ. But it is beautiful that every day is to be holy unto the Lord. It's not just one day and say, well, today is my day of worship. But today is a day of worship. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, is a day of worship to the Lord. Monday is to be just as holy in your relationship with God as Sunday is, or as the old Sabbath Saturday was. The scripture in 1 Peter 1:15, it says, "But he, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." That was not possible under the old law. You don't find that instruction being given under the Mosaic law, but under grace, there is power for all of us to live a life of purity and holiness and godliness. And every day is sacred and reserved for the Lord. So in the Old Testament, because they weren't able to do it, they were able to refrain from picking up sticks on Saturday. They were able to refrain from going out and working on the Sabbath. And the Lord said, "I want you to do this physically. I don't want you to work today. It's a day of rest." Do you realize the Lord wants all of us to experience the true Sabbath in Jesus Christ today, which is rest in our soul? Every single day, He wants us to be at rest because we have ceased from our labors and have entered into His spiritual rest. Well, as this man was put to death, just like God said, one of the takeaways this morning is that the judgments of God are sure. Under the old covenant, the judgment of God was sure. And in the new covenant, the judgments of God are sure. Ecclesiastes 12, 14 points to a day that is still coming. And he said, "For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Romans 14, verse 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." That's New Testament, all right? That's in the book of Romans. There is coming a day that we are going to give an account of ourselves to God at the judgment seat. And as sure as this man was put to death because he violated the Sabbath day, so there will be an eternal judgment of death and penalty of death that is placed upon everyone who has despised the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, this is new covenant now. We're going to stand before God and we're going to be judged according to the knowledge and understanding that we have. And we're going to give an account of ourselves. Judgment is going to be for all eternity. And I want to encourage us this morning, let's not get casual about our service to God. Let's not get casual about our life, because the scripture says over in Romans 11, 22, he said, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the," what? "The severity of God." It warms our heart to talk about the mercy of God and the love of God. And that's the foundation of relationship, is love, the love of God, and our love that's returned. But at the same time, let's not forget the severity of God. When we break the law of God and we do it with knowledge, there is going to come a day that we're going to stand before God and there is going to be a judgment pronounced. And it is sure. So you wonder, what does the blue thread have to do with this message this morning? Let's keep reading in the book of Numbers in verse 37. Now, we ended here in verse 36 where it says, "They brought him without the camp, stone him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," it was almost like that this event had happened. And after it, the Lord says, "Moses, I want you to do something. I do not want you all to forget my law." So this is what the Lord said, "Speak to the children of Israel and bid them that they make fringes in the border of their garments." Anybody wearing fringes on their garments this morning? The Lord said to do that. Now, what covenant are we reading out of? It's the old one. But there's a lesson to be learned, isn't there? Just like the lesson of Sabbath keeping. There's a spiritual rest. Every day is holy. So he said, make a fringe in the border of their garment throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the border a ribbon of blue, or more precisely, a blue thread. And I'm going to explain and give a little bit of clarity of what he's talking about. And then God gave the reason for the blue thread and the fringe. He said, it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. I want you to put a tassel, in other words. This fringe was translated as well, a tassel. And I want you to put tassels on the edge of your garments. And in that tassel, I want you to put a blue thread. And I want you to wear that every day. And every time you see that tassel with that blue thread or that fringe of tassels on your garment, I want you to remember the commandments of the Lord. I don't want you to be put to death. I don't want someone to go out and pick up sticks on my Sabbath day. Would it help you a little bit to put a fringe on your garment to at least remind you? Would it help you just a little bit? I want you to put a blue thread in this white tassel. And every time you see that blue, I want you to remember what I have commanded you to do. And he said in verse 4, he went on to say that you remember the commandment of the Lord and do them, and take note of what he said this next, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye go a whoring. I don't want you to go after your own heart. I don't want you to be going your own way. I don't want you to be saying, well, I think, or this is the way I see it. God is saying, it's not about how you see it this morning. It's not about what your preferences are. I want you to look on this blue thread in this fringe, and I want you to remember God has a way. And God gave commandments, and I don't want you to do it your way. I want you to do it my way. You say, well, I needed some sticks. I should have picked up extra sticks on Friday night. I didn't do it, so I think I'm justified on the Sabbath to go pick up sticks. And the Lord says, you are not justified. This morning, it is just as sure that we are not justified this morning in making exceptions to the commandments of the Lord in the New Testament. And so he gave them something very literal to do. So, with a little bit of research, because I still, after I read this, I was like, I was trying to visualize what this was. And so I went back and I checked to see what the Jewish practice was on wearing a fringed garment and or tassels on the edge of their garment. They did both. But a lot of times the Jews would take a tassel, and you all know what a tassel is. It would be made out of white thread, okay? But they would take a blue thread, one blue thread amongst the white. White represents purity. But something else that is noteworthy is that it was the kings and nobility that had the money that would wear fringe garments. Do you know that this identified God's people as a noble people then? We're wearing the clothes of kings and of princes. Do you know that's what God's people are? We are, and also the priest. You know what color the robes of the priests were in the amongst the Jews? It was a bluish purple garment, and that blue color was the same dye that was to be used for this thread. I'm not a priest, but I'm a Jew, and so I need my tassel to use one thread of the same color that the priest. In other words, we're tied with kings and priests. You know, there's a lot that could be said about that as we come into the new covenant as well. But we have been made, John said, I believe in Revelation 1, we have been made kings and priests with God through Jesus Christ. We're nobility. We have access with God. But God gave them something very literal with this fringe, with this white fringe, this amongst the white threads, that there would be a blue thread running in the middle. And he said, every time you look at it, he said, remember my commandment. I want you to remember. Now, traditionally, they say there are 613 commandments or principles of which to live in the Talmud or in the books of Moses, okay? And so the Jews say there are 613. So they would take these tassels And it was made up of 8 threads. And they would do 5 double knots, and 8 plus 5 is 13. And the Hebrew word for tassel, it's called zitzit in the Hebrew. If you put a numerical number on that, it's 600. Okay? A zitzit, or a tassel, the fringe. That's 600 numerically. And so they had 8 threads and 5 knots. That's 13. So they would say 600 plus 13 is 613. There was some symbolism there. All right? And so that was how they would border the edge of their garments with this tassel or with this fringe for the purpose of remembering the commandments of the Lord. Well, the fringe was appointed by God. Now, here's something of note. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember that story? Do you remember what she did when she came up to Christ? She reached out and touched the hem. Do you know how that word hem, what it's translated? It's translated fringe or tassel. See, Jesus most likely dressed as the Jews dressed. It was a commandment of God in the Old Testament. Now, I wasn't there, but that word in the Greek there in the New Testament is translated fringe or tassel. And the woman came up and touched that tassel that represented the commandments of our God. And she touched that. There's another scripture that bears out in, remember in Matthew 23, verse 5? You remember what the Pharisees did? It says the Pharisees enlarged the borders of their garments. You know what they were enlarging? They were enlarging their fringe. They were putting bigger tassels on because I'll be a little bit more pious, so I'll have a little bit longer tassel coming off of my garments on the four corners of my garment. I'll make the fringe just a little bit bigger, so when I walk through the marketplace, you all know I'm just a little more pious. And Jesus disclosed their hypocrisy, didn't he? He opened it up and said, that's not what's making you pious. You enlarge the borders of your garment as if that's going to change your heart. We know that if I came in this morning and it might have made a statement and had a tassel coming off my suit coat, you would have been, what's that all about? Do you realize that would have made any change in my heart? But in the Old Testament, worship to God was very much physical. It was very much rites and ceremonies, and God had commanded that you wear a tassel or a fringe with a blue thread. And he put that in order after someone had been put to death because of their violation of the commandment of God. So where does that leave us this morning? I believe this morning that the Lord wants to remind us of the blue thread. Let's not forget the commandments of God. The penalty for breaking the law of God is also going to be eternal death. And while we do not walk around this morning with a blue thread and with fringes and tassels on our garments, the Jews still do that. Some of the Orthodox Jews still do that today. But the point was that they were to look on that blue thread. And God told them, he said, I want you to remember the commandment of the Lord. And very specifically, he said, and seek not after your own heart. The scripture says in Isaiah 55, he said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. And the scripture went on to say, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not what? They're not your thoughts. Is that so hard for us to accept this morning? Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. He went on to say, my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, our thoughts are right here. God's thoughts are right here. Our ways are right here. God's ways are right here. Why are people struggling so much with the way I see it or my preferences or what I think or what I want to do? Do you know where our ways and thoughts will take us? They're going to take us to a place of judgment, where there will be a penalty of death, unless we remember the blue thread. I want you to look on that tassel, in that piece of blue thread amongst the white, and I want you to remember the law of God. And I want you to remember not to go after your own heart. Say, well, I think, y'all have heard me say this plenty, you know what you think isn't going to get me to heaven, and what I think isn't going to get you to heaven. We need the way of the Lord this morning, and His way is perfect, it is holy, it is pure, and it is righteous. You see, it's important that we recognize who we serve this morning. If we serve the Lord, we need to follow His commandments, don't we? Do you know that the New Testament is not without commandments? It's based on a principle and foundation of love. Without relationship through love this morning, we can keep a lot of good principles and it will not bring righteousness in our life. But if we love God, it is not a laissez-faire experience that I can go do whatever I want. If I love God this morning, and I want to please God, I want to recognize that His way is above my way. So Lord, I want to look on. I want to remember the blue thread. I want to remember Your commandment. And I want to remember that I'm serving You. I'm not serving Michael anymore. I'm not serving the flesh anymore. I want to please You, Lord. So if I had a little tassel and every time I was tempted or I thought, well, I think, could I look down at that little tassel, that blue thread, and say, what is the way of the Lord? What does the Lord want me to do? What is His command? You see, obedience this morning is not contingent upon understanding why. Do we get that? I can repeat it. Obedience is not contingent upon understanding why. That man could have said, I don't understand why we have a Sabbath day. I mean, I didn't pick up enough firewood yesterday. I'll do it today. I don't understand why, therefore, I'm going to go pick up wood. And the Lord says, but my command is not to pick up wood. But I don't understand it, so I'm going to do it. That is despising the law of God. There are some things the New Testament teaches saints this morning that we may not understand today. But obedience is not contingent upon me understanding all of it, because I understand that God's ways are above my ways and His thoughts above my thoughts. But I will also say this, there are things that I didn't used to understand that I understand today. As I've served the Lord and drawn closer to God, I understand why now. And there are some things that I may not understand today that maybe next year the Lord will help me understand. But until I understand it, I want to be obedient. I want to do what the Bible teaches. I want to do what it says. Just you parents that have children, if you tell your children to do something and they don't do it, and you come back and say, why didn't you do it? And they said, I didn't understand why. I didn't understand the reason. Is that acceptable as a parent? Is that going to work for you? Why do we expect that to work with God? Is that a fair question? Why do we expect it to work with God? Because as a parent, it's like, you know what? Maybe you don't understand the reason I told you to do this. You know, later on as children grow up, they start understanding. Mom and Dad weren't so odd after all. Mom and Dad had, there was actually a reason why they told us to do that. But they didn't understand it when they were little. So what we try to teach our children is you obey, even if you don't understand. Saints, this morning, may I entreat us to obey the Word of God. If I don't understand it today, I want, Lord, open up my understanding. But until I understand, I still want to be obedient to what the Scripture teaches me. And we know, and we'll, as we bring the message to a close this morning, we don't walk around with a fringe or a tassel or a blue thread in that white tassel. We don't walk around that today. But do you realize that God has given us His Word? And He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Do you realize this morning that I may not understand everything from Matthew to Revelation, but if the Lord teaches us to do something in there, I want to be obedient. That's my blue thread. This is our blue thread this morning. And do you know where he put it? Over in the book of Jeremiah, he said, in those days, talking about the days of Christ, Jeremiah 31, 33, he said, I will put my law in the inward parts and write in their hearts. You know the Lord has written his law in our hearts. And when we stop in our decisions and in our choices of what to do, how to live, all the things that touch us daily, can we stop and in honesty ask God, Lord, that law that you wrote in my heart, what do you want me to do? You don't need the preacher to come home with you. You don't need, you young people don't have to have your mom and dad just poking and prodding, don't do that, do this, do. No, it's about, now God has given you parents for a reason, young folks, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But in your service to the Lord, it's about taking personal responsibility and saying, Lord, I want to please you. What is your way? That's my blue thread. It's here, and then he wrote it in my heart, and I don't want to forget it. I don't want to go pick up sticks on the Sabbath, folks, because the Lord said not to. That was back then. But today, I want to please the Lord. And if there's something the Lord lets me know, Michael, this isn't good, I don't want you doing that, or I have something I want you to do, I want to remember the blue thread and say, Lord, it's not about my way. It's not about my thoughts. I want to please you. So the message very simply is this. It could have been retitled, I guess, and just say, forget not. But let's remember the blue thread. Let's remember the commandments of God and the judgments of God are sure, not my ways, not my thoughts, but God's ways. Amen.